You got that, Mike? Today's message is hope in Christ. Not going to give you a long introduction. I just want to get straight into what the Word of God has to say this morning, and then draw from that, from what the Word has to say, and hopefully add the points in which your mind can focus upon, so that you can apply exactly what's contained in this section of Scripture. So, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 says this: "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we should be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." So guys, in 1 John 3, what we've been studying and learning is some very clear points that are not hard to get. The first point that we covered in chapter 3 is that God loves us. And we really just, to what manner the love of the Father has bestowed upon us is calling us children of God. So we just settled that Sunday. If you remember, we came in and I left you with hopefully feeling this, just that God is wrapping His arms around you and just revealing unto you how much He really loves you. Because we never get out of that context. We never step outside of God's love. It's impossible that if we are His children, for God to ever stop loving us in all circumstances, right? So that point was established. Well, once God loves us and we're called His own, there's a byproduct of that. Is that the world, that immediately when we are loved by God, we are now separated from the world. He's told us what? That He's pulled us from out of the world, from the dark things of this world, unto His own. And He's called us not only His children, but in that transfer from going really from death unto life, from being old things to pass away and new things, there's a byproduct. We're not of the world anymore. He's redeemed us is really the proper term to use here. It's a redemption. He took what was not useful, in a sense, not useful. He's redeemed me. And so in His redemption process, in Him doing that, there's the world, and the world's system is no longer our system. We don't follow it anymore. And we also understand the world doesn't know us, because it doesn't know Him. So we become strangers, in a sense. We do strange things. We think strange thoughts concerning the world. We dealt with that last Sunday and why it is, and really dealt with how it's not to where we're now scared of the world, or not that when the world doesn't understand us that now we try to go and say, hey, we're going to look just like the world so they get us, right? That's not it. We don't do that, do we? No. We can't. We will continue to understand that that is not a problem for us, that we look different from the world. That's not a problem. That's something to thank God in. And to give Him the glory that we're not like the world anymore. We don't follow our passions and lusts like we used to. And we understand that those things were actually, if anything, really hindering our life. And so as believers now, it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God." Already been established. But this morning we're going to go and see is that, as it continues this, is that now that we're not only that we are just His children, is that there's also, there's something happening in the future with us, between us and the Lord. And we're going to see Him. So this morning, what we're going to focus on is really our hope in what we will be in the Lord. And so this is really the section that I just want to read to you again really quickly, because this is going to be the meat of our text is this. "Now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." So the first key point, I believe, to working through this particular section of Scripture is that we will be like Him at His coming. Okay? This speaks to the finished work of Christ. He's taking your mind and saying, listen, there will come a time in which you will be complete in Me, and you will be like Me, right? And So we're going to start to understand that God is using this so many different times in Scripture to give us the hope in what is going to happen. Some of you guys follow John Piper. You've probably heard this illustration before. I've used it many a times, I guess, in different sermons. If you heard it, fine. If not, it's a new one for you. But he tells of a story of a young child that has a guitar and is wanting to learn. He's really talking about being disciplined. Some of you guys already know. Who has not heard this story so far? Raise your hand. You haven't heard this story? Some of the kids right here? Okay. Wasn't it John Piper? It's Don Whitney. You're right. Spiritual disciplines. You're right. Thank you for that clarity. These guys don't listen to me, don't worry. They're not going to hear my sermon. But anyhow, if you're going to go try to find it, it's Don Whitney. But anyhow, so what he tells the story of is a young child wanting to play the guitar, but looking outside his window and seeing the other children playing, right? And he's thinking, do I really want to spend time trying to learn the guitar, right? This idea of being drawn to two different places. Well, he takes the child forward about 20 years or whatever period of time and puts him before this huge concert, and this guy's just playing this guitar and it's just beautiful, and because the kid loves the guitar, he's just in awe. And the angel basically tells him, that's you in 20 years from now. And now what does he have? He's got discipline, because it's not drudgery is what he says. Discipline without direction, he says, is drudgery. If there's no discipline, to discipline yourself but have no direction for it is drudgery, because it's just trying your best to be disciplined, right? I'm just going to do this. Well, there's a spiritual principle here. And God is trying to give us a spiritual principle right here in 1 John. He is giving us the direction. So the discipline and some of the things, we're going to see not even much of the discipline, but the actions that line up in our life line up with the direction of where God is taking us. We're going to find that God is doing a finished work, and when He reveals where He's taking us, then it creates something within us in which to follow after Him. And so that's my goal this morning, is that you join me in this through today's sermon, and as we look through 1 John, is that you apply a direction to your life. And you say, I know where I'm going. Because this is exactly what's trying to tell us, in which God didn't have to tell us all these details, did He? Jesus did not have to tell us, worship me because I am your Creator and King. Would be sufficient, right? But He goes on in so many different details, and it's like He's given our mind the right amount of workings to question some of these things so that we can say, where do I get the answer? And it's like, here's your question. It's like He puts the question in and here's your answer. The question is what's going to happen to us, right? What am I going to be like? Or question is what is God going to do with me? What's going to be going on in heaven? Well, right here He's telling us, listen to me. When Christ shows up, we will be like Him. We will be found in Him. It may not have a complete impact to you, but I want to give you just one other verse of Scripture that because really what I want you to focus in on is that this is the work of Christ. Listen to me, this is not your work. You will join on this work, but this is a predetermined work by which God is going to glorify us. Okay, God is going to take people, save them from their sins, continue to affect their whole life, and then in the heavens, He's going to completely purify them and glorify them so that He can have a relationship with that soul in heaven. I don't know about you, but that's really not needed. To save my soul in this earth should be enough for me. To save me from my sins should be enough. But He's telling me that, and it's hard to almost wrap your head around this, but that, yeah, my flesh will not be there, but my soul, somehow He takes pleasure that for out eternity, He is going to relate to me. That for eternity, that death is not a stopping point. That throughout eternity, He is going to have relationship with my soul. In some way, there's a continuance of me. That there is a continuance. And you may think, well, am I completely in a spirit form, or do I still have my mind, right? Is it still Nathan in heaven? Yes, it is. It's absolutely that I will be in the context of my mind before the Creator and also through the glorious Lord, and I will be like Him. And I don't think He's just going to override all parts of us. I don't think He's going to do that. He's not going to override all parts. He's not then going to make us just a robot in heaven, right? He didn't make a robot on earth, and He's not making us a robot in heaven. He is going to glorify us and purify us for His glory. Not for you. Not just so, hey, look, I'm finally got it. You know what I'm saying? You finally get up there. Me and Katie in heaven. Finally, she's like, well, it's about time. I've been trying to do this. I've been trying to perfect you for all these years. We finally got to it. It took us all into heaven. Now we finally made it. Now you're perfect, right? It's not for us in that sense. It's that He is going to take us and purify us so that He can relate to us in that type of relationship without the consequences of sin, without the burdens of sin. Man, what a relationship. What a relationship that's coming. I mean, seriously. And not only that, amongst other people. We're going to be in heaven with other people. I mean, it's just a glorious state. And not to just try to get your mind too far there, but, well, maybe it is because God wants you to know that this is what He's going to be doing for us. And how do we know that He's going to do this? Well, this is not the only spot. Listen, we could spend a lot of time this morning and going through different verses of Scripture, but one of my favorites is in Romans chapter 8. If you want, you can just turn there. You can listen to. You can just listen. This is what it says. 8:28, everybody loves this verse, but and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We're always like, hey, that means everything's going to be good. Listen, this is His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. You see, this conforming to the image. He predestined them to be conformed to His image, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Guys, this is not the only section of Scripture, but this just very clearly talks about this transformation process, doesn't it? And even in this transformation, He doesn't even just say, look, the glorification is to come, right? He says that He foreknew us, He predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son, right? And the conforming of the image starts when and where? At salvation, right? We're being conformed unto Christ, and through that He has justified us, right? He has called us, and then He has justified us before Him, now in this time. But He doesn't stop there. These He's also going to glorify. All right, so I'm going to say the glorification is in time to come. I am not glorified on this earth. I will be glorified in heaven. But He has justified us and He has cleansed us. And so the key point of our text you need to understand is that the first part, if you're going to break this, I'm going to break this, maybe this message into two parts for you. The first part, God has everything to do with. God has everything to do with this particular work. He will do this. And at His coming, you're going to be like Him. You will be found to be in His presence and transformed. And now some of you may think, well, how big of a difference is that going to be? What's the extent of that transformation process, right? How far am I really going to grow? Well, I'm just telling you, you will be perfected in Him. Now, the part before I go into the next section, I just want you to know something is you've got to get to the point, and hopefully so far you're here, but I think the second part of this message today is going to really be dependent on whether you believe that you're in the process of being transformed to His image. And the point of do you believe that you will be before Him at His coming like He is. If that thought is not solid in your mind, then we're going to see our portion is just our portion may look a little different as far as what's going to happen on our side. So again, I just want you to look back through time. I want you to look back through different verses of Scripture, and I want you to be settled on how clear God has made this, right? How clear, to what extent has God gone through the Scriptures to reveal unto you that He is going to perfect you in heaven, right? We're going to leave this section. This, you know this. I'm not speaking to anybody in this room that doesn't know that fact, right? This is solid. If anybody has that question, come see me. I don't think I'm looking at anybody here this morning that's going to say, I'm not that thinking that I will not be perfected in His presence. Well, we're going to see that there's an effect, though, on our part of the next part about having hope. Having hope in this, what it actually does for you. When there's an actual hope in this happening, what effect is it going to have on your life? Because here's the difference. There is a head knowledge of what some people think is going to happen, and there is a purification process when somebody truly has hope in what's going to happen. There's a total difference that I believe that happens in people's lives based on whether they truly have hope or they don't have hope in Him. And let's just say right off the bat is that some have a level of knowledge of just thinking, I will be in heaven, so everything's going to be okay when I get there. Right? Just talk to somebody. Just ask somebody. Hey, do you believe in the Lord and believe you're going to be in heaven? If you ask somebody, do you believe you're going to heaven? Most people, whether they believe it or they're believers or not, a lot of people are going to say, yeah, I believe I'm going to be in heaven. Nobody says, I mean, it's an obstinate person that says, nah, man, I can't wait to get to hell, right? That's where I'm going to be. And you've heard people say this, like, hey, this is me, man. This is where I'm going. I don't care. I mean, you've heard those statements by people. Most people are going to say, nah, man, I'm going to heaven. I'm a good person. You get really down to their life and you really look at, do you really have hope? What does your hope look like? For them, their hope is just defined like this. Well, I hope everything works out. I hope He's going to do what He said He's going to do. This is not the hope that's referred to in 1 John. 1 John, actually, in this first section of Scripture, is another test for us. How many times have we gone through tests in 1 John? If you say this and do this, if it lines up with whether you are a believer or not, right? How many tests have we had? I mean, test after test after test. This is a test for you this morning. And so what I want you to do is I want you to start thinking about, and I want you to be honest for a second and think about where you have placed your hope in. I want you to ask this, because I really want this message to be, in a sense, if it's a life-changing verse for you or just a life-changing thought process, I hope that it is, but I want you to think about in your life right now. I want you to, as if you were going to write it down on a piece of paper before I go any further. So I'm going to maybe get all you guys to put a head nod on this thing or something so I know before. We're not going any further until you think about for a second what you place your hope in. And how do you know that you've actually placed hope in something? And I mean something as in general in everything, right? Because some of us, if you're trying to think about, if you had a card out and you said, what do I have hope in? You're going to see that if you're putting hope in something, it's something to come, is it not? It's not something of the present. Hope is almost always spoken of something in the future, correct? I have a certain expectation. A certain confidence in, maybe. Maybe it's another word you can put. I have confidence in this. I have confidence that this will work out according to this, this, and this. Right? And now think about how you live based upon that hope or confidence in certain things. Right? You are making decisions all the time based upon these things. Matter of fact, you probably made a decision based on that today. You probably, you're subconscious. You don't even know that you make decisions based upon this. You know what you probably decided or what you thought about? You had a certain hope on what today would be like. I'm telling you, if you thought that somebody's going to be rude to you today and say some rude comment every single time you came to church, more than likely your subconscious will make a decision not to be here next Sunday, isn't it? Right? You have a certain confidence, and when you come in here, you're going to see your brothers and sisters in Christ. Hopefully you have a certain confidence that we're going to be delivering the Word of God to you, and you're going to receive from the Word, and you're going to receive from the Spirit, and those kind of things, so you make a decision to be here. Maybe it's a small step, maybe you don't even think about it. Some things just come like that, right? But I'm telling you, if something disrupts that, what happens? You make another decision, don't you? You make a decision. You change a process or something changes. You are always making forward movement based upon your hope. And I mean that forward movement based upon what you're placing your hope in, right? Right? If your boss came to you this week and said, "Hey, listen, things have been a little tight over this next month. We're going to hold your check for the next month because we're tight right now, but we think we're going to be able to pay you when the month's up. We're thinking that this, and this is going to come in." Going to need some hope in this, right? What's my steps going to look like? Man, I'm starting to look for another job. You're like, I don't know if I'm putting all my hope in that, right? Or you're going to say, it's been a good place to work. I trust them. I trust their decisions. I'm going to put forth energy and I'm going to work harder this month than I've ever worked before, hoping that this will come in and we'll make the money that we need to make so I can get a paycheck, right? What's that? Hope, isn't it? Movement, isn't it? Guys, I'm telling you, the point I'm trying to get at is there's somewhere in your life, there has to be a well thought through focus in your life that you are placing your hope upon Jesus Christ. And it has to be very clear. If it's wishy-washy, or if it's just out of duty, then you're going to find that 1 John chapter 3 is not a very good verse for you. 1 John chapter 3 is not a very good verse. Because something's not going to be happening in your life. If you really are not placing the hope, let me tell you the byproduct of that. You're not being purified. Because the Scripture tells us that when we place our hope in Him, what happens by that is there is a purification process. And so here's the real test for you today. Is that first it's going to be to be determining first, and I mean this, whether you are certainly in the moment, in the week, in the day, through your life right now, if you are really placing your hope in Christ. And the test for you is going to be the purification of your soul. That's how you're going to know. And you say, I don't know about all this. It may take a little bit of explanation here. I don't know. Well, that's what the Word of God wants to teach us. So first of all, before we go any further, I just hope that I've kind of got this head nod for you. Is that you know you make decisions based upon your hope. Based upon what you put your confidence in. Or another word if you want to put it, interject here. Your faith, right? Your faith in. You are making decisions based upon those things. It's just what it is. It's just the truth. In a side note, and I don't always do this, but in a side note, I've had to think about, this is kind of the process for me, and let me just say this, I want you to know something. Every time I have to preach, I just hope you know I've already had to preach to myself. I've already had to learn the lesson, and sometimes I have to learn the lesson quickly, or sometimes I won't go into all the details, but it takes a little while, but I've had to think about in the context of my life, I just stopped and I said, where, in the context of Nathan 4, where is it evident? Where is it that I know? I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't come that I just stand before you and preach every Sunday. Okay? I want you to know that. Because I can do that in my flesh. I can do that out of duty, right? I can do that out of diligence. Just something that comes week in and week out, right? Those all things would be wrong, by the way. But I could do it in such a way. I have to think in the context of how I relate to the Lord and how I express that dependency upon Him that He is finishing a work in me. It goes back to that it is my God who is doing a work in me. And I get solid on that. And I quit thinking about this item or that item or whatever. I just think in the context of exactly what's going on in my life. What's going on in personally, between me and my family, between me and you, between me and my work, between me and my friends. I have to know that I am placing my hope in Him, and then to see where it is that when I make that transfer, is that there is a purifying thought in my heart. That my heart then becomes purified. That there is a transfer of thought process from what it was to what it should be, right? This is what I was thinking of, but this is where I should be. It's what hope equals. Hope equals purification, and it makes it evident. Another verse in the Scripture I want to give you. Turn to me real quickly to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, excuse me. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. And so I don't know if you grasp all this. This is like, honestly, this is one of those verses of Scripture. It's like, boom, boom, boom. I mean, it's just nailing so many strong thoughts, so many strong. It's communicating so many divine knowledge unto us that is, honestly, you could just break down each one of these things. Honestly, if I was to preach on this, I could probably preach on a month going from word to word to word. But listen to how this section is. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So it is this, your hope, if we're talking about hope, produces a motivation, right? And a direction. Hope gives us a direction. And through this, the hope in that we have believing, we're rejoicing in our salvation of our souls, that we know that God is saving us and that it is to the receiving of our faith unto Him. So what you have is, in this context of this section right here, is that you see is that according to His abundant mercy, He's begotten us to this living hope. He is born within us this hope. So a believer, first and foremost, you must understand this. A believer has hope in his salvation. He's got hope in his salvation. It's clear. But along with this salvation, as he understands, there's an inheritance that it's undefiled. It's not going to fade away. We're kept by God. He's going to hold us, and then it's going to equal rejoicing. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Let me tell you why I want to include this verse, why I wanted to make sure you read this. Where's the test? Where's the test for where your hope is in? Where does it come? What does it happen whenever, hey, everything's joyful, right? And listen, if we had somebody come in here and lead us in worship for like 2 hours and we were just singing unto the Lord and just glorying in what He's done and we shared testimony, if I had each one of you stand before me and give a testimony of what God has done, right? I mean, glory be unto the Lord. I'll be praising Him, be enjoying that moment wholeheartedly. That will be me expressing my hope, right? But that's not where it's tested, is it? It's not really testing it. That's just the evidence of it being tested, right? And this is what I'm trying to get with you at. Where do you know that your hope is a purifying hope and that that's what it's doing? It will be tested. God is going to test your hope. And the test is going to be where you place your hope. And when that decision is made, there's your answer. When that decision is made, that's your answer. And you can come back to the answer. And maybe some of us have to do that at times, right? I raise my hand on that one. Sometimes I have to come back and say, God, I don't know what I was thinking. What was I thinking? Who am I? I've been working through myself some and just always want to make sure that I don't have too many things in my life that I just want a singular passion in my life. And it's not as if I don't have one, but there's a lot of things that seems to always be that I enjoy being involved in. I read a statement this week, just came across my screen at work, and it was, and sorry for using a secular guy as any quote, but it was, is Jimmy Buffett, right? No, Warren Buffett, not Jimmy Buffett. Wow. Hey, Mike, you got to edit this thing, man. Jeez. Stick to the text, man. Stick to the text. Warren Buffett, obviously, he's a master at the stock market, is he not? We know that. He's an expert, right? You know what he says? Don't try to predict the market. What? You're an expert. Don't try to predict the market. I'm thinking, tell me the stock I need to buy so I can invest $20 and make $2,000 or, you know, $100,000 off of in, you know, the next year. You know, come on, you're the expert. You're just holding out on me. You're not giving me the right information. He says, do not try to predict the market. It's unpredictable. The expert says it's unpredictable. I'll tell you the redeeming thought I had. Why do so many times as I go before the Lord and I'm trying to predict the future? Why am I always trying to figure things out? I mean, do I really believe the Scriptures that tells me that God is going to hold my hand and He's going to direct my path if I will keep my eyes upon Him? Do I worry that I have absolutely no retirement at this point in my life? Am I concerned about it? Do I need to be wise and maybe more prudent about it? Yes, but on the major decisions of my life, where is my hope, right? Well, you better get to work. You better figure some things out, Nathan. No. I better make sure that the test for me is that through everything in my life is that it is clear that my hope is in Him and in Him only. Because everything else, you know what's going to happen? Transfer it to someplace else, Christians. Transfer your hope to something else or somebody else. Let it be somebody else. Go ahead. Let it be anybody. Make it the most trustworthy person you know. Transfer it to somebody. God will never take second place to anything or any person or anything in this world when it's concerning hope. He will not take second to it. He does not want that to be a position. And as soon as you put your hope in that, you know what all you're asking for? Is to be chastened from the Lord. That's all you're asking for. That's all you're asking for. Because He's going to bring you back and say, now who do you hope in? Oh yeah, you did really good with that one. Now who do you hope in? Let's try this again. And for some of you, it's round two, round three. I mean, you're like 12th round and you're still getting knocked out and you're still thinking, let's do this again. What? God is saying, your hope, put your hope in Me and you will be purified. Because you are going to be like Him. If you're His child, you are going to be like Him. See what that means? Is that I presently should be in a process of purifying myself for that day when He shows up. That my redeeming thought is not, I live anywhere I want to, I'm a complete idiot, and then the day that Jesus shows up, poof! Everything gets fixed. No, I am in a process of being purified. The test is, The only reason that I think that I have a hope that I will be like Him is because He's transforming me now. If He's not transforming us now, then why do we have a hope down the road? You shouldn't. Okay? Let me tell you something right now. If you do not see the purifying work of God in your life now, the sanctifying work, then there is no certain hope and salvation down the road. I'm not talking about perfection here, guys. I'm not talking about you being perfect. I'm talking about how do you know that you're placing your hope in Him? Some place, there's an activity. I'm not going to give you all what's going through my mind. There's an activity that takes place in your heart that is a purifying activity that I will tell you this, involves this. It involves you bowing your head before the Lord. It is a wrestling with God at times. It is a bowing your head before the Lord and a clear acknowledgement. God, You are my Lord. I trust You in this. Or God, You're my Lord and I want You to forgive me because I'm obviously doing some things on my own. Or God, my hope is that You're, or just a prayer to Your sanctification process, is that God, You're working in me. I'm getting close. Let me give you a couple of, don't turn here. I just want you to listen to these. I have not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Let us pray. Father, I pray that You fester up within us a joy that's based upon our hope. That hope is based upon a clear knowledge, a clear teaching, that we will be like You. That You are in the process of redeeming us. And that You are sanctifying us to call us unto You. And Father, that You are doing that now. Father, this week, today, Father, I pray that You set forth a strong motivation that's guided by hope. A motivation that says, I will cease from working. And like Abraham and so many others that have gone before us will say, I trust You. Let it be accounted to us for righteousness, not because of our actions, but because we have placed our hope in You. What situation, Father, have You put before us that is testing us on this? Who amongst us, Father, is wavering on a decision of whether they really have hope in You or not? Who here is wrestling with that? Make it known. Make it clear. We do not have time to waste, nor do we want to. Father, I look forward to the day. And I close in just saying that I look forward to the completion of me. And I thank you that you are presently doing a work here. Continue. Let your Spirit work. Just let it be known. In your name. Amen. Amen.